here now, hopefully, Professor Wayne Horowitz with the second attempt.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends and colleagues, attempt number two. Again, as I said before, cuneiform came late to Canaan, to Canaan in Hebrew, when compared with Syria and Mesopotamia. Arriving approximate to the time of Hammurabi of Babylon, the time of the great archives of Mari on the Middle Euphrates, when Hazor maintained contacts with cities such as Mari, Babylon, Katna, and Ekhalatum. However, in contrast to the situation in Mesopotamia and in Syria, only a very small number of tablets have ever been found in the land of Israel. To date, only 93. 17 of these, a relatively large collection in the local context, come from the site of Hazor. This being then roughly 17 out of 93, roughly 20% of the corpus that we have. You can see that Hazor is a large tell and the split into two by the British road, which runs right through the middle. And given the small number of tablets from Hazor and the small number of tablets from Israel-Palestine, in our examination of the Hazor tablets, we'll be interested not only in what we have found and why we have found what we have found, but also why we have found comparably so little. In the time allotted to me, I will briefly describe the cuneiform corpus in Canaan from the second millennium, including the finds from Hazor. Then we will consider the Hazor texts of the Middle Bronze Age, Old Babylonian period, paying particular attention to some very fine points of grammar, writing, and sign selection, which we'll later find useful as we conclude our presentation with an examination of the text from Hazor from the perspective of the topic of our meeting, namely the Hazor tablets as the first set of written sources from a newly literate area, what I will be calling the cuneiform southwest, meaning everything south of the modern Syrian, Israeli-Jordanian border, including, therefore, parts of Israel, the Palestinian territories, Jordan, and Egypt. At all times, I will be referring to the text and tablets by site and number, for example, Hazor 4, Hebron 1, using the numbering system established in my own 2006 book, Cuneiform in Canaan, co-authored by Takeyoshi Oshima, now of the University of Bucharest. Tel Hazor, loaded on the southwestern flanks of the Hula Valley, overlooking what remains of Lake Hula, is the largest biblical era tell in the land of Israel, covering some 200 acres or 0.8 square kilometers. The site sits in what is called in Hebrew Etzpa HaGalil, the finger of the Galilee, in the Rift Valley with the mountains of the Upper Galilee to its west and the Golan Heights leading to the Syrian plain to its east. As a regular visitor to the site, especially when new cuneiform tablets are to be deciphered, I can tell you that one's eyes are immediately drawn to the far northeastern horizon, where Mount Hermon, towering some 2,814 meters above sea level, dominates the view, particularly in winter when the mountain is snow-capped. My guess is that when Mesopotamian scribes stood at Hazor and looked at the mountain, they thought, well, home is just over the mountain, over there. From Hazor, if one continues south along the Rift Valley, one quickly comes to the Sea of Galilee, the Kinneret, which we just saw, and from there one can move on along with the ancient and modern road systems of the land of Israel into Beit Shan, and then turn to the west, entering the systems of valleys and passes that led to the ancient cities of Ta'anach and Megiddo, and of course into the mountain heartland of the Israelite kingdoms, the coastal plain, and eventually onto Egypt. My own connection with the Hazor tablets dates back to the summer of 1991, when on the very first day of excavations at the site, a tablet fragment was found in a brick. Soon after, I received a cryptic telephone call from Professor Amnon Bentor of the Hebrew University, stating, quote unquote, it would be worth my while to come down to the offices of the Israel Exploration Society and meet with him. An hour later, I was effectively the epigrapher of the Chatzor excavations. In the 16 summers that since, more tablets have been discovered in drips and drabs. The one tablet from 1991, one more in 1992, a large cache of tablets, four in 1996, two in 2000, one more in 2004, one in 2006, and one this past summer in 2007. When added to the six tablets found in the Yigal Yadin era at Chatzor in the 50s and 60s, this now brings the total number of finds at the site to 17. Again, not impressive in terms of Syria and Babylonia, but just under 20% of our entire corpus from Canaan. All 17 of the Chatzor tablets date to the 2nd millennium BC, 10 from the first half of the 2nd millennium, the Old Babylonian period, 5 from the second half of the 2nd millennium, roughly to the date of the 14th century Amarna tablets in Egypt. There are also two small dockets of disputed or uncertain date. The 10 items from Old Babylonian period Chatzor, I believe, can be further subdivided into two subgroups. An earlier group from the time of Hammurabi of Babylon, Zimrilim of Mari, and Ibni Adu, the king of Chatzor known from the Mari archives, and a second, perhaps later group. For the earlier group, we have a clear historical context, this being the time of the contacts between Chatzor and the cuneiform centers of Syria and Babylonia. Now Chatzor becomes the first and only city in Canaan to be known by name outside the country. The name of Chatzor's king, Ibn Adu, occurs in a number of Mari administrative tablets documenting trade between Chatzor and points east, see Boneki 1992, with even more explicit references, more explicit evidence for contact between Chatzor, Mari, and Babylon to be found in the Mari letter ARM 678 from the time of Zimrilim, which I quote. Two messengers of the man of Babylon, Hammurabi, who were previously residing in Chatzor, and one man of Chatzor who was going with him to Babylon have passed by Mari. In other words, we know that Babylonians were in Chatzor and Chatzorians were in Babylon. The slightly earlier Chatzor 12 in our corpus offers further evidence for contacts between Chatzor and sites in Syria. Let them send to me quickly to Mari. Some mishap might happen. Really, the word probably in Hebrew would be some fashla may happen. After I've arrived at the city of Mari, I intend to go on to Echolatum to perform sacrifices and celebrations. In fact, Chatzor at this time became such an important scribal and commercial center that its name entered into the Mesopotamian academic scribal tradition, appearing in later geographical lists and even dream omens. The prophet says, if a man dreamt, he went to Chatzor. The second subgroup of Old Babylonian period tablets is more problematic in terms of time. Based on sign forms, they seem to be later than the time of Ibn Adu, Zimrilim, and Hammurabi. In the context of the Chatzor tablets, however, this distinction between early and late is to a certain extent subjective rather than objective, since it is not possible to establish a firm chronology for the tablets based on archaeological criteria, as the same Middle Bronze 2B level covers the time of both our presumed early and later groups. In any case, the majority of our texts were found in late Bronze Age or otherwise useless archaeological context, at least for our purposes. For example, a secondary find of a tablet inside a brick. There are also surface finds. And when we later move through the tablets, I'll give you the archaeological background for each. Thus, we must attempt to separate the later tablets from the earlier on the basis of other criteria, mostly sign forms, possible loss of mimation in nouns may be important, and intrusions of apparent West Semiticisms into the language of the text. Such intrusions of the native West Semitic language into the Akkadian of Old Babylonian period Chatzor is part of a much larger and longer process by which the Akkadian in use in the Old Babylonian period in the Canaan evolved into the separate dialect or dialects of the language that is best known at Amarna. But this is also the language that we find in the late Bronze Age Middle Babylonian tablets from Chatzor, including Chatzor 10, which has Amarna-type glosses. Part 3, the Old Babylonian period tablets and the cuneiform southwest. As I said before, the 10 Old Babylonian period tablets from Hatzor are our best available tool for unraveling the intricacies of early writing in the cuneiform Southwest. No cuneiform texts from this period are as of yet available from Egypt and Jordan, and only 6 other items dating to the Old Babylonian period have been discovered in Canaan, these being Hebron 1, a local administrative tablet dealing with animals, sheep and goats, Shem Nablus 1, a letter, the envelope fragment Gezer 1, and 3 cylinder seals, Beit Shan 1, Beit Mersim 1, and Tel Gemma 1. Thus, our attempt below to use the Hatzor materials to examine the spread of cuneiform writing into the Southwest will be fraught with difficulties, most notably not enough text and the absence of a clear chronology for the text that we do have. These problems notwithstanding, I would like to thank the organizers of the conference for the opportunity to examine the Hatzor tablets, which I have come to know so well, from the new perspective as examples of early writing in a newly literate area. Let's now move on to the tablets themselves. Don't have a number for that one. Okay. The first one, well, is simply an inscribed vessel in which the name Ishmei Adu, Adu has heard, seems to have been etched onto the surface of a vessel after the clay had already dried. Okay, that's the inscribed vessel. Believe it or not, it does say Ishmei Adu written across there. It's after the clay had dried. It's clearly secondary. Someone etched that name. We don't know who this man is. We don't know whether he's early or late. We presume he must have been perhaps the king of Hatzor, but we have no Hatzor king list to compare this with, so we don't know exactly what to do with that. The second group, Hatzor 2 and 3, are two clay liver models, but they're written in a language and grammar consistent with the Old Babylonian period date, but the sign forms seem closer to Amarna, to the Middle Babylonian period, than to the Old Babylonian period, and we have a present future Idan, which may be from the local language, and the word Uru, Alu, city, written as grammatically feminine, apparently as in the local language at Hatzor rather than as masculine in Akkadian. The Hatzor 5 is a court record. It belongs to the early group. In this text, three junior attendants, this is upside down, three junior attendants, Suharu, Seirim, come before the king bringing a lawsuit against a certain Ms. Suma'ilum regarding a home and garden in Hatzor and a garden in what may be Gilad. The text is Uru Giladima. The king finds for the defendants. Here, one of the plaintiffs is a certain Irpa'adu. Irpa'adu, Adu has healed, who may also be named in Hatzor 8. We have a verb with a theme vowel from the west rather than the standard Akkadian theme vowel, and we also have the word for house biti written syllabically bt without mimation. Hatzor 7 is an administrative document. It's the first one that I published myself. Published actually with Aaron Schaefer, the first one that I worked with. We have, of course, the top, the bottom of the reverse and top of the obverse. We don't know exactly what's going on. What survives is 19 names, all of which are either Akkadian and West Semitic or West Semitic, and they all receive small sums of money, one half or one third shekel. These include a certain Ishput Adu. Adu has judged with the theme vowel U rather than I, as in Mari, C-A-D, Shapatu B rather than Shapatu A. And we also have an Iblu Tadu, realized syllabically with the Chi sign for Ka 3 with Tet, which is typical of the Mari tradition. Hatzor 8, here sideways, is a fragment written in a fine hand. If one didn't know better, one would say this was from Nineveh, but it's not. It was from Hatzor. In this text, a certain ear with just the pa broken, perhaps the restored ear pa adu, writes to the king, whose name writes to a man whose name begins Ibni. One is sorely tempted to restore Ana ibn Adu, Lugal, Belia, Umma, Irpadu, Irka, to ibn Adu, the king, my lord, message of Irpadu, your servant. But of course, all we have is Irpa and ibn, and this, I believe, is a case of Murphy's Law of Assyriology. The more important a source, the more likely it is to be broken, and if broken, broken in the worst possible place. Chatzor 9 is a fragment of a multiplication table, a four-sided prism. We have pieces of sides 1 and sides 4. This is the right side, and the top of the side that's most facing us, one can see the standard introduction to multiplication tables, 60 2/3 b, 40 am. 60, it's 2/3 is 40. This has the unusual feature of two B signs following the numeral for 2/3, the first being a phonetic complement for Shana B, and the second being the B for its 2/3. This sequence, Shana B B rather than Shana B, Shana B, Shana B B B rather than Shana B B, with two Bs, is attested only 3 times in the multiplication tables that are known to me. One such tablet at Chatzor, that being 100%, one tablet from Mari, that being 100% there, and one of 100 approximately from Babylon being 1%. Again, we don't have a statistically reliable sample. 100%, 100%, and 1% here may be a case of lies, damn lies, and statistics, but nonetheless, it would appear that the Chatzor prism mathematical table is written in the Mari tradition. The clay is local clay, and so was written at Chatzor rather than imported by a local, by a visiting scholar. Chatzor 12, Chatzor 12 is the lower half of the obverse and top half of the reverse of a tablet in which the writer commands that the underlings send a great number of textiles, luxury goods, and metal objects to him at Mari. The writer also notes his intention to go on to Echolatum, and it's been suggested first by my colleague Natan Wasserman of Hebrew University that the letter refers to the preparation of the dowry for the marriage of Beltum, princess of Katna, to Yasmach Adu of Mari. In this text we find a number of writings which are not typical of the Mari scribal tradition, including that of the name of Mari itself, here realized Matu Ritu Ki, boat city, and Uru Matu Ritu Ki, written as at Babylon, but never at Mari itself. Furthermore, there's one lemma, Dushua for Dukshu Dushu, written as at Katna rather than at Mari or Babylon. Thus, in contrast to Chatzor 7 and 9, the writer of Chatzor 12 is apparently not trained in the Mari scribal tradition, and we might even conjecture that he is from Katna or perhaps even Babylon. Chatzor, 3 minutes. Okay. I've wasted a lot of time on looking at the tablets. Okay, let's now finish up by looking at what is happening here. What I think is happening here is that you can whittle down these sources to five, which seem to come from the period of Hammurabi, Zimrilim, and Ibn Adu, these being the time of the earliest writing of Chatzor. Chatzor 7 and 9 show affinities to Mari. Chatzor 12 does not. There's no clear link between all the tablets, unless you accept that Irpa in the broken letter is the same as Irpadu in the legal case. So what have we found, and how can we explain what we have found? With only 5 tablets to work with, I'm not sure. We don't have a statistically reliable situation. But it seems to me that the first scribes, that cuneiform was imported from Mari and established at Chatzor according to the Mari tradition, perhaps with a scribal school. This is indicated by Chatzor 9, the mathematical prism. The cuneiform was also used there in the local context, perhaps in service of the king, hence the court record Chatzor 5, and maybe the royal letter fragment Chatzor 8. But it was also used to fulfill the writing needs of foreigners based at Chatzor 12. and also local administrators, cut source 7. But this is not surprising, since this is how scribes worked in all of the cuneiform world. However, what is interesting is if one looks at the entire Old Babylonian period in Canaan, it appears that the scribes remained faithful to the academic languages of ancient Mesopotamia. We never find anything in the Old Babylonian period other than Sumerian, Akkadian, in contrast to the use of cuneiform for other languages in the West, for example, earlier Ebla, Ait at Ebla, Ugaritic at Ugarit, Hittite even in Hattusas, and in the Middle Babylonian period in Canaan, used for alphabetic cuneiform script in three sources, Beit Shemesh 1, Tanakh 15, and Tabor 1, and also in the West Semitic column of West Semitic columns of lexical lists. So I would suggest that the Chatzor archives more closely resemble what's happening in Mesopotamia than other places in the West, because the cuneiform tradition arrived at Chatzor closely bundled to the Mesopotamian tradition. And this is because Chatzor, from the perspective of cuneiform, therefore should not be seen as a Canaanite city, but simply rather as an extension of the situation of cuneiform in Syria. Finally, two very last questions. Why have we found so little, and how is this relevant to the spread of other scripts into previously virgin scribal territories, in case China and her neighbors? Based on the available evidence, I don't really know how to answer such a question. It may be that our failures so far to find royal archives or more tablets at Chatzor are simply a matter of bad luck, but one might also posit that many, most all of the earliest tablets at Chatzor were not found in palace archives, but in private collections, and so therefore we may be looking in the wrong place, with at least at the beginning the scribes serving the king, Chatzor 5 and 8, perhaps on an ad hoc basis. Given the above, it seems to me we can conclude that Chatzor may offer a model of conservative innovation. Cuneiform remains in use as in Mesopotamia, basically unchanged, with small differences down to the Middle Babylonian period, down to the Amarna Age, when we find tremendous innovation and cuneiform used for dialects which are clearly not standard Akkadian. Yet, as is so often the case in Assyriology, a more clear picture of what actually happened at Chatzor and the spread of cuneiform into the southwest will only be available when more tablets are available. So only time and the tell will tell us the full story of the beginnings of writing at Chatzor and the southwest. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Although we are very much pressed in time, I think one short question to Professor Rain is possible. Jay.
Tanakh, which is dug in the early 1900s, and that's 17 tablets. That's a major archive. But you're right. It's Tanakh and other texts from that period indicate that cuneiform was clearly used for internal use as well as communication with Egypt and whoever else. There's this old saying about Moses led the Jews through the desert for 40 years to the only place in the Middle East with no oil and no cuneiform archives. So I have really no explanation.